Hello, listeners. My name is Mark. If you have been enjoying the Listener Lore episodes, please come over to my separate podcast feed, Lorehammer Listener Lore. On this daily podcast channel, I will be reading one story a day and sharing your creative works with others and giving my feedback at the end. So, if you like grimdark 40k short stories, come join me at Lorehammer Listener Lore, the 40k podcast where you get to write the script.
Hello and welcome back to Lorehammer. My name is Eric.
Hey, I'm Mark. Eric, quick question for you. Coming at you real quick here. So I was wondering, when are we going to bring up the fact that we ran into each other at an adult source buying sex toys with our girlfriends? When are we going to bring that up? We never talked about it. I feel like it's been over a week and we should have mentioned it to each other by now.
Wow, I'm a little... not upset at you for bringing this up, but I'm hurt, a little betrayed that now everyone knows that I like
things in your butt.
Up my butt.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I was hoping to keep it secret.
that's why I didn't buy anything, but you guys had no shame. We had to pretend we went there for weed paper.
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually really...
That was a nice story.
Really, really weird coincidence, because it's not like we were talking at all that day. Literally, Megan's are like, let's go buy a new bong. And we're in the store. It was actually our second store that we had visited that day, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
because
the first
ours
one...
Ours, too, because the first one we went to, you were there. So...
So you had to go to two as well? That's so funny.
They sell that kind of stuff at adult stores?
Yeah.
Wow.
What kind of stuff?
Like bongs and...
Oh, yeah. Huge really? Selection.
Yeah, lots of cool stuff. Like, that's why I bought, like, those foot-long rolling papers. Like,
oh, my God. Did you roll one?
I tried, man. It's a nightmare.
You need
tonight,
four...
Tonight we'll have
you
to try.
You need four people just to hold on to it. You got to carve a special tool just for it.
So, that's nice. Joining us today, though, is good buddy Josh.
Josh, yes.
Hi-ho.
Hi-ho.
How's it going?
It's going good, man.
This is first time on the show, I think?
Yeah. First time.
Wow. What a great episode to be on. Us just reading other people's crap.
Yeah.
I'm excited, man.
I mean, not crap, though.
No, this one particularly is well written.
Not crap.
Yeah.
But, Josh, you are interested in Warhammer. You have recently picked it up, right? This isn't like an old thing for you.
Oh, well, for me, I picked it up a little bit when I was like 12, 13.
Okay.
I had like the old starter pack with like the dark Templars, the Black Templars.
That's third edition. So that's a while.
Been a minute.
Yeah. So I had those for a bit. I picked up Tau for a little bit and I actually ended up selling them to Mark at one point for $20.
Like, I remember that actually. Yeah.
You know what? So much Warhammer has changed hands in our friend group.
Oh my goodness.
So it's just another one of those tales, I guess.
Yeah.
Swapping bits.
But now what are you starting? What are you collecting?
Right now I have a ridiculous Astartes army. I have like 3,600 points.
A lot of Terminators, a lot of Land Raiders. It's
okay.
Nice. It's
really what's cool. The army? Sorry, I missed it.
It's like straight Terminators.
No. Like, what's the... Oh. Like, obviously it's Space Marines.
Yeah.
But are you playing a specific chapter?
Yeah, it's a personally made chapter.
Blood Eagles.
Okay, it's your own.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Do you have, like, some of the story hammered out and, like, laid down?
A little bit, yeah. I want it to be a really good story, so I'm really taking my time with it.
Very cool, very cool.
Definitely. We bounce ideas off each other for... a while now.
It's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, obviously you're going to have to share that at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
On the show. But today you're not sharing it. Today we're actually reading someone's submission.
Yeah. So this is written to us by, he's on our Discord. He goes by Only One Bob. I sent him a message. I'm like, hey, we're finally reading your story. He's like, it's been a year and a half. I forgot I sent it to you. So
he's
like,
I gave up on this.
Yeah. So your hopes and dreams come true today only, Bob.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. I haven't read through it, so I'm excited to see what it is. I've seen pictures of his armies. We'll pull them up, and you can go check out our Discord. They'll be there and stuff. But
yeah, I'm sure if you message him asking for pictures of his army, he's never going to be like, hey, no.
Mind your own business.
Yeah, exactly. Back off. It's mine. So,
And if you're on our Patreon, we do have a video feed. I will pull up a couple pictures as we're kind of talking. So
you can take a peek at them.
Yep.
It's actually quite long.
11 pages.
So this is going to be the only one we read today.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do is he broke it up into chapters, which is awesome. And just a quick scan, like, I'm very impressed. There's punctuation.
Paragraphs. And
things are capitalized properly.
He's got, like, page numbers, and he's at the top of the page. He's got a little chaos star.
Yeah, it's great. I'm really looking forward to reading this.
Yeah.
And we're just going to go chapter by chapter. So I'll take the first one.
Yeah.
Okay. The Unification of Malice by Only One Bob. Chapter 1, Predictable Chaos. Their fall had been quick and unforgiving. The whispering of one Inquisitor and her disgust in the Sons of Malice's cannibalistic rituals had labeled them heretics, despite their service and loyalty to the Imperium. This betrayal led to a bloody and brutal battle against the Sons and their leader Cathal on their homeworld of Skellis. Their fall to chaos, their worship of malice and the labyrinth runs, brutal trials where the victors, doomed ones, were utilized, so he may rise again. 1,000 years had passed since the final run of the labyrinth and the doomed ones' noble sacrifice in his name, and although their faith in the true Lord of Chaos stood firm, his appearance had been underwhelming. Following their bitter defeat on Skellis, the Sons of Malice had loyally followed his great word so the true Chaos God could lead them against both the treacherous Imperium and the heretical legions to the false gods. However, there was no great awakening, no grand unveiling of his form, only silence, deep, echoing silence. Then again, such is the nature of true Chaos, unpredictable. Malice was never one to adhere to his plans. Schemes and plots had always been the realms of Tzeentch and his sons. Such order had no place in the true chaos of the warp. Although Magnus suffered a similar fate at the hands of the treacherous corpse emperor, that was where the similarities with the Sons of Malice ended. The same with the martial pride and honor of Khorne. Although he cares not where the blood flows from, there was little honor to be found amongst the true agents of chaos. There were no traitors within the bosom of Malice. No cowards, only madness. Their motives guided by the roll of the dice. Unpredictable. Father Nurgle had once tried to welcome the Sons into his gurgling pustules, but the natural balance of life and death, again, too ordered. Death would predictably follow life, and life would inevitably grow from death. A perfect circle, far from chaotic. Slaanesh loathed among the Sons. The picky details and planning required were a bother and nothing more. The pomp and grandeur were unbecoming of the Sons. They operated in complete silence, no flashy gloating, their armor black and white, plain. As for striving for perfection, the Sons cared not for perfection, their only goal to spread true chaos throughout the galaxy, to watch it burn in astral flame. How could this be considered chaos, these false gods? Mirror images of the ancient Eldar gods. The Sun's beliefs, concreted by Nurgle's obsession with Isha and the birthing of new life, bacterial or otherwise, Khorne's martial prowess following Kane's lead, Tzeentch's tricky plots and plays with their twists and turns mirroring Kegarak's foolish ways. Chaos. These false gods of chaos were far from chaotic, predictable, and predictably they would fall.
So let's just keep going.
Yeah.
Okay. Chapter 2, The Barbarians and the Boys. Silence. A dark, penetrating silence filled the hulking labyrinth as it heaved through the void. It was a greasy silence, oozing out of the shadow, clinging to the cold metal interior like blood through veins. Steel grinding on steel, piercing loudly throughout the hulking behemoth, followed by mutterings, animalistic grunts, and the retching of flesh. Sion, one of the Cathal's chosen, grimaced, and the Sons had always
the sons had always dwelled, fought, and severed. Survived, I'm assuming?
Served,
sure. In a sweet silence, and their... that's a word, yep. And their sweet silence, a recent uncharacteristic truces had been strained. One of the sons of Malus surviving Astartes, he had been recruited on his homeworld of Scacilius, having been birthed from the barbarian king himself and gifted to the sons as a babe. He was one of three brothers, Sion, Griffin, and Ovis, who had successfully undergone the trials as children. Their strong, barbaric bloodline served them well whilst undergoing the change. Despite their raw strength, their chaotic nature had led to many poor choices throughout the aeons, and his body was adorned with scars from previous battles, many from wounds that should have left him rotting. The decision to abandon their power armor had been centuries ago, with the brief belief that victory was nothing more than a chance. Every battle 50-50, win or lose, armor or no armor, these odds would never change. Arguably a poor decision, but Malus worked in mysterious ways. Sion lifted himself silently from the darkness. He had grown weary of the lack of worthy recruits, but Cathal required bodies. He had lost many of his sons over millennia, their numbers dwelling and lacking the supply of noble warriors from Seculus. They picked up any who would follow, the quality of which varied. Over the millennia, they had recruited many waifs and strays, enemies of the Imperium and the Corpse Emperor, enemies of the false gods of chaos, and those who sought nothing more than the anarchy in its purest form. The cultists were unruly, but had the sense to keep their silence under Ovis's watch. The Dark Mechanicum, their machinations were silent, but the beasts and monstrosities were far from it. Griffin, one of the three brothers, had even crushed an orc warboss in hand-to-hand combat and led a small band of highly loyal orcs into battle, the Boys of Malus. They offered zero resistance to the worship of Malus, often mispronounced by them as Malal, in their primitive tongue, some throwback to an ancient mythological god from a long forgotten, when the galaxy was new and only spoken of in whispers. It is rumored to write his name would incur the wrath of the creators of the universe themselves. These creatures were awe-inspiring in their chaotic nature, but their ability to adopt the sun's silence in battle was an impossibility that Cathal had made no exception to. Echoes of war cries could be heard cutting through the silence of the battlefield, their lust for violence becoming impossible to contain. Loud demands for silence, "Shh! Boss says quiet!" could be heard for miles around, but the irony of this was often lost on those who heard it. The humor buried under the bodies of men, women, and children, loved ones that fell victim to their brutality. These beasts brought a level of cruelty and violence to the sons that even Cathal himself found extreme, but they suited the chapter well, happily donning the black and white livery and eagerly engaging in cannibalistic rituals that resulted in the sons' excommunicatus. Sion had little to no patience for these boys and felt they had made a mockery of the sons. Although unpredictable, they definitely were, and again, chaos worked in mysterious ways. Once again, though, the sound of metal on metal and loud mutterings could be heard screeching through the great space hulk, followed by the hoarse cybernetic croaks that came from the millennia of mechanical alterations.
Ooh, that's intense. Chapter 3, Uneasy Truces. Sion's patience for the Mechanicum and his beast was spread thin. He knew he must bite his tongue till the day of reckoning had passed. Amati Limax. Limax?
Say it however you want.
Yeah.
Armati Limax, there we go, had proven to be a highly useful annoyance to the sons with his beasts and monstrosities. Limax had escaped a brutal defeat at the hands of the Imperial Knights on a backwater feudal world he had slithered beneath. Little was known of what transpired, although he had managed to slide away before the Dark Mechanicum's defeat at the hands of the Knights' warlord Titan. He had become stranded on a feral world inhabited by beastmen, technically human, mutants. Their appearance after generations had altered to become more beast than man. Venerated as a god amongst these barbaric beasts, he continued his genetic and mechanical experiments with varying successes, success resulting in a fanatical following. He was happy to don the black and white colorings and begrudgingly entertain the tedious cannibalistic rituals of his sons, despite long ago abandoning any requirements for sustenance of any sort, but had spent too long in his own company to guarantee the silence they demanded. Cathal, however, served a higher purpose to him. Having served the precious gene seed from his fallen sons, Limax had finally succeeded in his ultimate heretical act. Hypocrisy, he muttered. Oil glistening from his tendrils, exiled from the Mechanicum, forever suggesting the Astartes could be more. The sting of learning Belisarius's Primaris was all the stronger. Utter hypocrisy. His voice echoed mockingly as he stepped back. His experiments with gene seed had been interesting, despite his previous experiments, resulting in him being labeled a heretic. Belisarius's were venerated as revolutionary hypocrisy indeed. These beasts were nothing more than mutated humans after all. There is no logical reason for failure he could see. And yet, he traded off. Although not a complete failure, these bestia Astartes were no space marines. Smaller and weaker in strength and the intellect of a child, they struggled to outmatch a true veteran Astartes out in the field. Their speed, animalistic violence, and the sun's inherent penetrating silence were their gifts. The fastest, most violently donned with lightning claws, and others armed with the same weaponry as those they called brothers. They rushed quickly and stealthily across the battlefield to obliterate their enemies. To avoid showing the beasts down and rendering them worthless, power armor is now wasted on them. The armor they donned was purely aesthetic and did little against anything stronger than a sword and spear. Despite their failings, the lack of adequate armor led to a fighting style which focused no avoidance in their air acrobatics, made them difficult targets to hit in the heat of battle. A mixed result. Again, such is the unpredictable nature of true chaos. Man, how long is this chapter? We're almost there. There were, of course, those among the beasts deemed unworthy of the sacrifice, the sacred gift of gene seed. Their loyal fanaticism was rewarded with robotics and implants to enhance their animal barbarity. The Capra Mechanica provided to be effective shock troops for true sons to follow into battle, and the beasts' loyalty to Limax. Their obsession with the upgrades and their desire to achieve ascension to true machinations of chaos, and them fearless, although a little unpredictable, without the guidance of a bestia Astartes to channel their bloodlust. Ah, Sion, how good of you to join me. I hope I haven't disturbed you. Limax hissed through wires and tubes, eagerly rubbing his greasy mechadentries against themselves under his cloak. The screech of metal on metal. Ooh, that gave me goosebumps. Sion glared, clenching his fists. The mechanical monstrosity's lack of respect needed to be adjusted. His mood quickly changed as he felt the cold sting of steel softly press on the back of his neck and a flash of feathers covering his face. Oh, have you met my little angels? He cackled. An unusual air of authority festering on his tongue. The Omnissiah has truly birthed malice. A thing of beauty. The machine spirit flows strong with them. Limax croaked, the closest to a laugh the slithering mass could muster. He cared nothing for the gods, either chaos, man, or machine, but these animated husks, these angels of death, were his pride and joy, more in common with the ancient men of iron than anything living. He worried they were a heresy too far even for the sons. Easier to argue some great machine god has gifted these corpses eternal life than to risk their destruction. My Angelus Mechanicus are, of course, at the sun's disposal. He smiled greasily. Ugh. Sion stopped, stepped forward, and from the shadows it slithered, its torso still adorned with the power armor of the fallen Astartes, once housed. A great brilliant wing spread from one side, long, dark, razor-sharp tendrils from the other. Its skull, bleached white, was purely aesthetic, to perpetrate the illusion that some humanity remained hidden behind the wires and circuitry, slithering on lubricated tendrils of steel and growths of mutated flesh across the blood-soaked mesh of the laboratory. Excuse me. Struggling to keep his abomination within the eye line as it silently darted in and out of the dark crevices of Lemax's grim abattoir, a very real sliver of fear resonated within Sion, an echo of emotion he hadn't felt for aeons, a glorious reminder of the terror true chaos brings. Grunting, he turned. He knew Lemax had neither the will nor the inclination to lead an army and Lemax knew that where one son fell, another three would quickly emerge from the shadows. His authoritative air already drifting back to the arrogant apathy. That's a big word.
Scintillating?
Scintillating. Oh. Scintillating's always, oh great chosen one of malice. He sneered, caressing the light feathers of his angelic abomination with a metallic claw. Gurgling contently. An uneasy alliance, but a mutually agreeable one. For now, it's served its purpose.
Oof. Okay, let's take a quick break.
Okay, yeah.
That's a lot.
Let's unpack what we've learned so far. So first chapter called The Predictable Chaos. I guess he's kind of just talking...
That was really just send the scene, yeah, I think, for a lot of this.
Exactly. He's talking about how, like, the chaos can't really be those gods because they're just... They're the same over and over, and it's just predictable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. It's just setting the scene, the idea that...
there's a fifth god out there, and this is the god they worship.
He includes the story of the Sons of Malice's, their fall, when they're declared excommunicate traitoris, right, with that female inquisitor that they end up, you know, murdering and probably eating. The doomed ones, they say that they tried to awaken him, but nothing happened, which is classic malice for just it not to work.
Lazy chaos god.
Yeah. And then those are the Bestia.
Yeah, that's what I just...
Are those the Bestia?
Yeah, he sent us a bunch of pictures. Yeah, these guys are the Beastmen Space Marines.
Mm-hmm. And those are the angelic ones.
Little angels or whatever.
Okay, so...
Yeah. So then chapter two, he talked about...
the boys.
Yeah, there's three primary sons or something from this barbarian tribe, and
Who are they? Sion,
Griffin,
and Ovis. Yeah. And who was the one that led the boys?
Greffin.
Okay, so that's actually pretty interesting to hear. I've never really heard of Space Marines and orcs really working so closely together.
I guess if you just like orcs are pretty true chaos, I guess if you're in league with true chaos, you can make it work, I guess, somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any huge like problems with it by any means. I'm more just like, oh, that kind of threw me for a curveball.
Yeah, I don't know if he made models for them, but like his orcs. But
what was crazy was this: the decision to abandon their power armor had been made centuries ago with the belief that victory was nothing more than a thing of chance. Every battle a 50-50 win or lose, armor or no armor, these odds would not change. Arguably a poor decision, but malice worked in mysterious ways.
Yeah, that's a good line.
Okay, you know what it reminds me of?
Huh.
Two-Face.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And the coin.
Yeah.
Right?
Fate will have its way.
Exactly, yeah. It's just a matter of chaos. It's just a matter of chance or whatever. So,
yeah, it's pretty much Warhammer anyway, right?
I mean,
every game you play.
First, he also says in here that he said something about they follow like the roll of the die.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a little funny little joke for him to put in there. But the idea of they don't fight with power armor anymore and they just like trust their fate to chaos, that's kind of crazy. And the fact that they're still alive.
Yeah.
You know, if you do it and you live one battle, no one's going to give a shit. But if you do it hundreds of years ago and you're still fighting, that's crazy.
That's nice all of a sudden.
Yeah. All of a sudden you have to start thinking like, maybe malice is protecting me, you know?
Well, yeah, of course.
Very cool.
That's so, like a crazy conversion. Oh,
the chapter that you then read was the alliance between the Mechanicum, the Dark Mechanicum, and the Sons of Malice. So this was the tech priest that kind
that's
of...
Limex? Yeah. Armati Limex. Yeah, oh my god, he's huge.
Yeah.
And he's got this massive spider-like body. and then he rears up and has like a really big torso and looks like Tyranid carcasses on him.
It's crazy.
Obviously, oh, he's got a scythe in there. That big power axe, that's classic Mechanicum.
Yeah. Some pistols. It's a crazy miniature.
Wow.
Yeah, so I guess that's one character he has for sure.
So Armadi Limax is a member of the Mechanicum. Oh, and I love that talk about how he was like, I was going to do stuff with Gene Seed, but it was heretical. Yeah. And then Call comes along, and it's all fine.
It's all fine. Well, he didn't use Beastman DNA. Jeez.
So yeah, he Limax puts Gene Seed in Beastman, and he makes his Bestia Astartes.
Yeah.
But they aren't that great.
Yeah, maybe they don't get all the Gene Seed somehow genetically, or who knows. Maybe it's Gene Seed light. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's just hard to control their instincts and like the psycho conditioning or something just doesn't fully take or anything. So he has these like half semi Astartes that he's mixed with the Beastmen, and those are pretty fucking neat. They just have like smatterings of power armor all over.
Yeah, very brutal.
It looks like a very big cool like weapons. A mishmash, but yeah, like very cruel and like horrific weapons.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Nice.
And then the last thing are those angels.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what he uses them for on tabletop, or if they're just for fun. Maybe like objective markers.
So these are AIs? He said they're close to the ancient men of Iron.
Oh, maybe there's some type of AI light.
They definitely have flesh on them. There's a line where it says... Don't worry, I'm going to find it. Okay, so first of all, they have feathers.
Yeah.
Here we go. Its skull, bleached white, was purely aesthetic to perpetrate the illusion that some humanity remained hidden behind the wires and circuitry, slithering on lubricated tendrils of steel and growths of mutated flesh across the blood-soaked mesh of the lab. Yeah. So they still are a mix of flesh and...
Yeah, it might even just be synthetic or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that, you know, instead of using cables or whatever as muscle, he's just growing muscle and just attaching it on instead.
Yeah. They're pretty cool.
I like that idea, though, that he's creating, like, men of iron, but not men of iron.
Yeah, yeah.
And he knows enough to compare it to them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, they're cool. Oh, okay.
Angelus Mechanicus, that's what they're called.
Yeah, that's cool.
Very, very cool.
Okay, let's carry on.
Chapter 4. Get some more info. Yeah. Malice's Chosen. At the helm of any ship is its captain, and the hulking behemoth of the Labyrinth... Oh, that's... Okay, that makes sense what the Labyrinth's name... The Space Hulk is named Labyrinth. I was a little confused. Okay. Whew. The hulking behemoth of the Labyrinth was no exception. Little was known about Cathal, the Sun's leader and anarch, and there were many rumors and tales, as there had been of his predecessor. Supposedly, his cruelty knew no limits, his lust for violence was unrivaled, and his longevity was eternal. True, he had never been beaten in hand-to-hand combat, but the reality was that this was a relatively rare occurrence these days. Although he had fought side by side with the great Abaddon and his Black Legion when it suited, many centuries had passed since this. Abaddon's polar opposite, where he had received the backing of four, Cathal had only the quiet gifts bestowed by one, rumored by many to be non-existent Chaos God. These boons were subtle. Whilst Abaddon blazed a path of destruction across the galaxy, Cathal's wrath had, much like Malice's, been significantly quieter. Rumors aside, he had led the Suns for millennia, and had led countless numbers into battle and lived. He was a survivor. The boons that Malice gave may be subtle, but longevity was definitely one. There were whisperings of the Suns surviving through violence that would destroy most, their silence keeping their secrets hidden. The three brothers were a perfect example. Battle after battle, they would survive with no armor. Bullets would fly past them. Claws and swords would miss vital organs and arteries. Enemies' footing would falter. Confident warriors would hesitate that split second too long. Indeed, his gifts were subtle. Clad in Terminator armor, Cathal dwarfed the cultists that scuttled around him, but was no more imposing than most Astartes, the old captain of the first company of a chapter long forgotten. He had exceptional skill and the most advanced of technologies the Imperium had to offer at the time. However, a young man he definitely was not. After millennia, he had a striking resemblance to the corpse emperor he despised. Sunk down in his captain's chair, he beckoned to one of his loyal cultists.
Sion, bring,
he whispered. He rarely spoke. Such was the way of the Suns. His body slumped in his dusty armor as he breathed heavily. The cultist looked panicked, darting off down a corridor. Cathal's gray eyes scanned the screens and windows in front of him, smiling as flames danced in his mind. He would watch this galaxy burn. All those who opposed him, even the great Abaddon, would bow at his feet, the chosen one of the true god of chaos himself. The young cultist skidded back into the room. Sir, I... His loud exclamation cut short. Without pause...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Cathal lunged across the bridge and wrapped his fist around the young cultist's head, crushing it against the cold steel hull.
Okay.
Sometimes you just gotta put people in their place.
Yeah.
Show them you mean business, man.
You don't address me as sir.
Well, anyway, what HR make of that?
He dropped the limp body down at his side before staggering back to his throne, the old man's beard dripping with blood as he licked the gore from his fist. The young fool had forgotten his place. Sion stepped over the crushed corpse without so much as a glance, silence again gushing from the walls. With a sluggish gesture from the Chaos Lord, the remaining cultists scurried from the room, dragging the corpse of their fallen into the shadows. The tearing of fresh meat could be heard echoing from the corridors. Such was tradition. Nothing would go to waste, and Limex would make use of whatever remained.
Sion, war is coming. Troops required. Allies secure?
Cathal's voice was deep and raspy. Oh.
Sion, war is coming.
Yes.
Troops required. Allies secure?
Cathal's voice was deep and raspy. Years would pass between spoken words on the labyrinth, and it wasn't uncommon for members of the Suns to forget how to engage in speech at all. It was often referred to as a vow of silence, but vows required order, something severely lacking on the Suns' space hulk. It was more an absence of sound, a lack of speech. Allies? Sion gasped, the sound of his own voice echoing in his skull.
The worms and beasts, whispered Cathal. Secure,
Sion replied, grimacing.
The greenskins?
Secure, loyal to brother.
The sisters?
He questioned.
Unknown, allegiance assumed.
Uncertainty filled Sion's words. Silence filled the bridge once more, smothering the two warriors, a mutual understanding of the battle that was to come, and what was required from them all. Cathal gestured lazily towards the door. There were preparations to be made.
Ooh, very nice. Okay, chapter 5, The Sisters. Sion had slightly more respect for the other Mechanicum faction the Labyrinth fostered in its bowels, the Sisters. Nana, Decima, and Morta led their mechanical marvels into battle under the direction of Mother Falcatus.
Falcatus?
Falcatus. Although members of the Dark Mechanicum, they had zero affiliation with Limax and had no wish to change this in any substantial way. They had been found by the Suns following what appeared to be a brutal battle, leaving Mother Falcatus?
Falcatus.
Falcatus. Cat. Okay, I remember that. Falcatus. Her daughter's broken, alone and in need of resources. Resources the Suns left in ample quantities following their numerous raids and battles. The truce between Falcatus and Cathal
was built on mutual respect. While forever Falcatis believed Malice to be her beloved Omnisire, she was happy to follow his chosen into battle and would direct her forces appropriately. Her and her daughters delighted in gore and violence. Armed with power scythes, they ripped through enemy forces and left trail of terror and mayhem in their wake. However, this came at a cost. Their bloodlust often led to significant losses, hence the need for the sons to begin with. Her daughters were as violent and unpredictable as their mother, and were often moments where cultists have fallen as collateral damage to satiate them, both on the battlefield and in the quiets of the labyrinth. Unlike Limax, Mother Falcatis had spent many centuries deep inside the warp in an effort to uncover the secrets of the true machinations of chaos, and hoped to discover the Omnisire she and her daughters worshipped so fervently. This is what had led to her gruesome form, part machine, part monster, a mess of twisted flesh and wires. Many mysteries surrounded her. It was rumored that her scythe was a trophy following a grand battle with the armies of Father Nurgle and the dismemberment of one of the chosen champions. Possibly the same battle that decimated her forces and led to her joining the Sons. A theory that made sense, a joint hatred for Nurgle combined with the possibility that Malice was the deity she longed for, would explain the loyalty she showed towards Cathal and Cathal alone. Sion's respect and caution was well deserved. His brother Griffin? How do you say it, Eric? You say it differently.
Griffin
had lost a limb and nearly his life to the sisters following the consumption of many fungus beers with his boys. Yes. And longing for female companionship, an area he was lucky to walk away from. An area which continued to be questioned to this day, considering the sisters' femininity was as questionable as their humanity. The mother could barely be considered the same species. The shadows moved on their own volition as the complex machinery continued to churn the flesh and bones fed into soldiers from their ranks, and by proxy, the Sons. Light and dark dancing across the ceiling. Sion's eyes darted from corner to corner. It was not uncommon for the sisters to toy with whoever stepped into their mother's web. Death was not something he feared per se, but becoming a million of Falcatis certainly was. He had no intention of becoming a slave to the monster anytime soon, and he would do all he could to improve those chances. Nostrils flared. The smell of decay filled his lungs. He was hoping he could at least smell the vile specter before his head was forcibly removed, but the stench clung to him closely. The only sound was the gentle hum of machinery, continually plucking bones and flesh and rearranging them gently into the configurations the sisters felt would be best represent them on the battlefield. Sion, the three voices whispered in unison. Mother was expecting his presence. Where is Cathal? He stood, glancing from shadow to shadow, the voices surrounding him. She is very disappointed to see you. You know how she is. She wished to speak with the Lord, the three cackled. Tiny little warriors, high-pitched giggles filled the room. Thinks he's so strong, body made of steel. Sion knelt and clenched his fist, his senses heightened. Weak flesh and bone, we could make you so much more. Flay you, give you new skin. The laughter grew and grew into a cacophony as out of the shadows creeped a single, slow tendril. Mother will look after you, make you strong. Sion ducked down, diving to his side just as a razor-sharp point hissed past him, slicing into his shoulder, missing his neck by inches. He lunged at the tendril and gripped hard, pulling the figure out of the shadow. The laughter subsided into stifling giggling as a spider-like form of Mother Falcatis lunged into light, looming over him as he held her, his grip. "Why are you here, little mortal man?" the three whispers on the mother's behalf. "Are you here to offer yourself to us? Give your body to us? We may need to rend it from your soul." Falcatis wrapped her slender tendril around the warrior's throat and lifted him slowly off the floor. Sion's grip tightened, trying to hold his weight, glaring into the faceless mask of Mother's machines. "Does Malice offer you to us? Are you a gift for us? Is it our birthday, yes? The sister shadows darted quickly from corner to corner, their cackling echoing around his skull. Gripping the tendrils tightly, he feels their mother's grip squeeze around his throat. Behind her, the recent corpse of the dismembered cultist, organs dripping beneath her. Still head tightly amongst her coils, a spider wrapping up a fly. He could feel the blood filling his eyes bulging from his skull. Falcatus dropped Sion immediately and turned her attention to the cloak-covered worm. She despised this thing, almost enough to crush the life from him then and there. "And what do you want with us?" the voices unified sharply as the sisters strutted from the shadows. "We have no business with you, worm." Their sighs held high above their heads, moving in unison. Limax stuttered nervously. His Angelus creeped close by. "War is coming, ladies." How'd you do his voice? You know, consistency.
Oh, I don't think I did Limax.
Okay, then yeah. I get to create
it. I did Cathal.
Ah.
Yeah.
"War is coming, ladies, and a great battle is close. Now, this fool may not have tact to secure your services, but that is why he is here." Silence crept back into the room, clinging to them. "Ladies, we just wish to serve the Omnissiah. He wishes to serve Malice. Since they are one and the same, it would seem to me that we are all of the same goals." "We have no quarrel, worm. We will fight for Cathal and the forces, and for Chaos and the great machine god," the sisters sang. "We shall rend flesh from bone and collect..."
Oh, sorry, Mark. I'm pretty sure it said the sisters
"We
sang.
Have no quarrel, worm. We will fight. We will fight for Cathal." How's that?
That's perfect.
Okay. "The sisters sang, we shall rend their flesh from bone and collect the souls of men for our armies so the galaxy may burn in his name." Their excitement at the thought of the upcoming atrocities quickly distracted them from the current game. "Very well, now. I have vested interest in ensuring this battle goes well, and I have business to discuss with your mother. Your translations are unrequired." Limax creeped towards the machinated mother, his greasy voice lingering in the air. "I have a soldier to build." His voice trailed off to a series of machinated clicks and whines as the two crawled slowly into the darkness. Perfect. Wow.
All right, final chapter.
That's
Josh.
Pretty fucking creepy.
I
so
hate
far.
Spiders.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm glad that he got grim dark like that, because that made my feet sweat.
That's how you know it's real, when the feet sweat.
Chapter 6, Unification. Sion tripped as he fled from the room. He had taken his opportunity and played the cards he was dealt. Some would call him cowardly, but again, there were no cowards amongst his sons. No heroes. No right or wrong, good or bad. Only actions. Decisions were not made on some misplaced sense of honor. They were made in the moment. The roll of a dice. Chance was the greatest connection to the Lord of Chaos, as any outcome would surely be decided by him and him alone. If he were supposed to die, Sion thought, then he would be dead. If he was alive, then he was to continue to do so. The great space hulk heaved through the stars, dipping in and out of the warp. The dripping silence of its hulls pierced only by the sound of metal on metal. Warriors had been gathered from every world and system of the suns had fought on. Anyone who would or could bow to Chaos or simply sought freedom to make their own fate gathered for no other reason than to cleanse the galaxy. Sion stood in front of the suns. These were his to command into battle, and he had no time or patience left for machines, beasts, or orcs. All he required were his armor-clad warriors. The silence from them grew into a
cacophony?
Cacophony? That's a crazy word. Cacophony of nothingness. Bloodlust oozing from the battle-hardened squads. These men had served Malice loyally for centuries, some even longer, from a time when they believed the corpse emperor to be their savior. Their drab black and white armor heaving as they breathed deeply. This would be the battle to decide the fates of them all. The sisters and the machines, his brothers, his brother Greffin and Ovis. Greffin leading his boys and Ovis his cultists like sheep. Armadi Limax and his beasts and angels. Sion and the Suns, and even Cathal, leading the warped monstrosities of chaos that dwell deep within the bowels of the ship, the only one able to command such a force of chaos. Unified, the worshippers of the false gods would bend at the knee to the true god of chaos. But first they would strike deep at the heart of the traitorous Imperium. They may not be strong enough to take Terra, but as their army grew, so did their chances. Cathal smiled a thin, wiry smile as his face as his gaze fell on the monitors in front of him. Armageddon. There was something about his planet that had long intrigued him. So many iconic battles and murmurings of something the orcs left buried long ago. Alone, the sun stood no hope of raining fire down on Holy Terra, but by unifying many under the flag of Mal's true chaos, they could set the galaxy ablaze. His gray eyes slowly moved around the room, carefully designed schematics showing images of Eldar, Tau, Tyranid, Necron, and Menagerie. Ooh. Menagerie of other Xenos flickered on the screens. Limax creeped out from the shadows of the bridge. My lord, my studies have been inconclusive. The orcs proved receptive to Malice's will, but the others... I require samples. He wheezed. Motherfuckaltis. Knowledge.
Doesn't matter. What's her face? The mother.
Her
of
knowledge
sisters.
Of the warp has proven to be invaluable, and there is untold potential in the Eldar's capacity for madness. His tendrils wriggled excitedly, and perhaps even the Tau. They have some obsession with the assimilation of a species for a cause greater than themselves, so perhaps they will be receptive. The war machines are truly a sight to behold. If I can perfect the process, perhaps. He trailed off, clicking and whirring maniacally. Regardless. Their bodies will prove useful in our machinations, I'm sure. Or else we'll burn in the fires of your chaos, my lord. His greasy, oily voice smothering the chaos lord's senses. Cathal glared at the creature, gesturing towards the door. He quickly grew weary of this sickly worm. His creeping and scheming ill-suited his preferred approach, but it was a means to an end. Fate had brought this creature into this world. It must surely be the will of the Malice. I'm like reading everything in that voice still. He had worked so hard, done so much for him, sacrificed so many. Surely this was not for nothing. Surely this was the lost god had intended for him. Surely this is what the lost god had intended for him. Fire burned in his mind as he stared into the great vastness of space. Armageddon, a speck in the distance looming ever closer as a cacophony of silence grew throughout the labyrinth. If this was his will, then so be it. He would unify all under chaos, and those who would now bow to him would burn in his fire. Those who would not bow to him would burn in his fire. Cathal's smile widened, his gray eyes shimmering. Whatever secrets lay in Armageddon would be his. He was sure of it, but victory is far from guaranteed. The future was as uncertain as their past, but such was the way of chaos. Unpredictable.
Ooh, nice way to end it.
Wow.
How we started it. That's nice.
That was a story, dang.
That was a story.
So let's, before we go into the story as a whole, let's go over the
last
couple chapters that we covered. So we started on what?
Malice is Chosen.
So what one was that one?
That one we learned about.
Oh, that was the one where they go to the command bridge and you see Cathal kind of sitting, and it's describing what sounds like a decrepit old man.
Yeah.
But who still can rush at you and smash your face against you.
Real bad.
Yeah. The whole like not speaking thing is interesting.
Yeah, yeah. How do they do?
It's just chaos, you know? I guess you just do whatever.
Okay, read my mind. What am I wanting you to do now?
Well, we're going to go get some ice cream.
Okay, I'm in.
but you asked me in 5 minutes, and we're gonna go murder something on a moon in Jupiter, right? That's chaos. So
yes.
Maybe we get ice cream. Maybe we go on a dark crusade. Who knows? So that was that whole chapter was just learned, kind of seeing Cathal as like a person.
Then the next chapter was the sisters, and that was where Sion went down into the bowels of the ship and met with the sisters, who is just another faction of the Dark Mechanicum on the ship.
Mother Falcatis and the three sisters. Now, did Only One Bob provide us any pictures of Mother?
No, that's Mother. Some of the bitch did not.
Yeah, I liked his, like when he's down in the room and he can hear like the whisperings. I imagine them coming from all different places and echoing. And
you see the shadow shifting. And
And so he's like, man, like time to, I might die right here.
Yeah. Just like looking around, there's like body parts everywhere. It's like,
yes.
Yeah.
When he was describing how the mother had that cultist body like strapped to her body and she's like dissecting the organs and pulling everything out. That's so crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You're a sick man, Only One Bob, to think of such things. Truly, truly sick.
And then to wrap it all up, the final chapter, Armageddon.
Yeah, basically just now we got all the forces and he's off to Armageddon.
That's crazy. Yeah. That kind of blew my mind to see Armageddon in there.
Yeah, I wonder which war he's off to. I wonder how current this story is. Like, maybe he's going...
Is it happening right now, or was it like during one of Ghazghul Thraka's? Yeah.
Third war? Fourth war? First war, dare I say even?
Yeah, who knows? Armageddon's a pretty well-fought place. Very cool, though.
Yeah, I like it. I like that he's come up with different elements, and he's just tied it all together. Like, this band is led by This Is the Hero, and I'm sure he has models.
I was just thinking that, too. Yeah. I love the idea that there's, like, the branches or whatever, and this guy specifically deals with cultists, this guy does orcs, this guy does the space marines, and then they have their support, the ADMEC.
Yeah. No, it's very cool. I would love to see a picture of your entire army.
I want
to
see Cathal. I want to see this, like, gray-eyed, wispy, big beard.
Big beard, right? Apparently, yeah.
Licking blood, the gore off of his fist as it drips into his beard. And
it'd be nice.
That's crazy. Yeah. I liked it. Honestly, I really want to see models of Sion, Greffen, and Orvis. I want to see how he does these unarmored. Like, are they wearing robes?
Yeah.
Is it more like battle gear, so they're just like strapped, like clothes on themselves? Are they just fighting in a loincloth?
Yeah, or just a pistol holstered to their thigh, and that's the only thing.
Right, yeah, it's just pure naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like how he did that with the Astartes, because, like, you always think of Astartes with a big bulky armor, the big shoulders, but he took that all away. It's like, okay, these are legitimate Astartes.
Okay, when Sion was in the room with Falcatis, in like where the sisters were, and it was talking about how he like grabbed the tendril and one like went around his neck and was lifting him off the floor.
Yeah.
I was like, no, he's in armor. That would never. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. They don't wear armor. But I definitely, anytime Space Marines are said, I always picture them in armor.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible for me not to picture them in armor. So that was kind of crazy to like force me to think about what would they wear? How would they fight? How would that change like what they're, how they interact with things? So
yeah, they can't just now kick down doors.
Well, they could probably still kick down a lot of doors.
A lot of doors, yeah, okay.
But I agree, like, it definitely changes how they have to act without that armor. Very cool.
I liked it. Out of the factions we had, like, the Orc Boys, we had two Dark Mechanicum factions, the Sister, and Limax?
Well, Limax, he kind of had his abominations.
Yeah, and he had, like, his Beastmen.
The Bestia Astartes and the Angelus Mechanicus.
Yeah. What out of all those is your favorite?
Honestly, I love the look of the Angelus Mechanicus.
Yeah, they're sweet.
I think they look absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
He did a great job, not only with the model, but then with the painting, and then with the story even as well. So, I think those are probably my favorite. I think they fit right in with the Sons of Malice.
Sure.
And like this true Chaos God.
They got a cool name and everything.
Yeah, but they're abominations and heresy, and even the people that are with them think they're, like, gross and cruel. They got, like, the body that only Mother could love, you know?
Yeah,
like, Limax loves them, but everyone else is like, what the fuck, man?
That's an ugly baby.
Yeah.
Josh, did you have a favorite faction?
Mm. You know what? Just because I really hate spiders and they provoke that emotion inside of me, I'm going to choose the sisters.
I think that was so good.
Yeah, yeah, that was. That it was really well written. Yeah. Well,
I need to see models of that.
Yeah.
He has to have them. He has to.
Of course. They're too important for him not to have. Yeah, they're good. Mark? Marcus?
Yeah, I think it's the spiders as well.
The spiders?
Cool. Yeah.
Very
just
cool.
Just because, yeah, when you read it, yeah.
It felt
you
very,
don't like it.
It felt kind of Gollum-y, too. Oh, their insanity. Yeah. It's like that childish insanity. Yeah. Like, who gives a shit about their birthday?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, children care about their birthday, right? Yeah. And or, like, always talking about mother's gonna get you. Like, that just sounds like a child, right? So it's very
creepy.
They remind
me of, like, the three children from Nightmare Before Christmas. The Oogie Boogies.
Oh, almost okay. Like,
Oogie Boogies. Yeah. Anyways, okay, I've been watching Disney movies. Or that's not Disney, but I've been watching child movies. Let's put it that way recently.
Excellent.
Yeah.
No, this was a very cool story. It leaves you like right on the cusp of obviously something huge.
Yeah.
And all of this is leading up to it. You have no idea what battle
yeah, what
Cathal is talking about originally. Yeah. And then he just arrives at Armageddon.
Yeah.
He has plans for the Tau. He has schematics for, you know, the Tyranids, the Necron, the Eldar.
Yeah. He's got plans on plans.
Yeah.
He'd probably be one of the first to make Tau into a Chaos faction, right?
Chaos Tao.
I mean,
I'm not gonna say no.
I'm all for Chaos Tao. I'm for chaos anything though. So,
yeah. Why would they not be chaos?
Exactly.
Because they have the greater good, Eric. It was a trick question. You should have known better, you dumb dummy.
Boot me from the podcast. I'm out of here. That was my fourth strike. It was the fourth one.
That was the fourth. Now you're out.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm replacing you just like what I did with Jordan.
No. I knew my time was come. The bell has rung. That's very cool.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing with us. So me and Eric, we've talked about it. I guess we're taking listener lores of all shapes and sizes nowadays.
All shapes and sizes. So we don't want to force you to like pare down what you have to fit our thing. We want you to share everything that is cool.
Yeah.
So this is the whole point. But that comes with kind of a caveat. If your story is like more than two pages, I am going to proofread it.
Yeah.
And if it turns out that, you know,
I just struggle
to read through it, I'm just going to go back and send to you and ask you to clean it up. That's all.
And the best way to do that, Eric will tell you,
is Fiverr.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not even the only service that offers this, but honestly, like, I would love to read your stuff, and I know you want to you want to hear it on the show, but sometimes me no read English good.
Oh, that's a man who can actually read who says that, so then let's pare it down to me and Josh over here. We're fucking struggling reading normal sentences.
Yeah, so we want to hear it,
but
if you don't want to risk me sending it back to you, like, either get someone to proofread it and edit it for you, or I'll ask you to take it to a service, because I want to know what it is, but I don't want to give myself an aneurysm while doing it. So
I just can't wait for, like, somebody's now gonna send like this beautiful 15 page well-written story, best executed, and then just in the last line it's just gonna be some massive troll that just fucks it all up, you know.
That's gonna be excellent.
Yeah So that'll be nice too. I can't wait for that.
Very cool Well, thank you, Only One Bob, for submitting that. I'm sorry it took us a year and a half to get to your piece. Everyone else who's out there listening, now you know exactly where we are in our timeline. We're a year and a half behind.
Hundreds of people.
But we're making an effort to get them out at a way more consistent rate.
Yeah.
So we wanna try and get caught up pretty quick here.
That's an impossibility. But we wanna read more for you. So I hope you enjoy it.
Cool. Well, thank you, Josh, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. That was fun.
That was awesome.
Nice light episode for your first one.
Yeah.
That was refreshing.
What if you could pick to be on any topic of episode, what would you pick?
Ooh, that's a really good one.
What would be something you'd want to participate in?
Well, I think considering the fact that I have a Sanguinian chapter, I'd like to go a little bit deeper into the Black Rage and the
Interesting.
A Blood Angel man.
Yes. Son of the Angel.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that'd be really cool.
Okay. That's good to know.
I know there's a lot of Astartes.
Yep. You know what?
That's like all I have to like bring to Mark sometimes. He's just like, enough Space Marines.
Yeah, I love the guy, but my God, he needs to realize.
That's why I also got Necrons.
Actually, me and Josh, we've played a couple games. I haven't played any 40K in like the longest time, but we played a couple games, and they were just kind of... They were truly Mark rules. Like, it was a mix between Kill Team and 40K, and we just told
some
us,
DMing weirdness.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you know what? I love the idea of a DM'd 40K game, and as soon as, like, some sort of normalcy returns, I plan on playing DM'd 40K games.
Ooh.
James is really into it too, and so is Nathan.
So is Mark.
Yeah. Perfectly. Yeah. So is Mark and Josh, Mark apparently. And Josh,
Let me tell you, man, it's spectacular.
It was nice.
It was fun. I was actually like stressing out super hard. He had some pretty crazy things going on. I was like, oh what?
So very, very cool.
But, yeah. So Lorehammer. Boom. Did it.
Boom.
Thanks for showing up, guys, and we'll see you on our next episode.
Denizens of Cormorah.
Oh, yeah. Cormorah.